You're listening to Spotlight Asia, a podcast that shines a light on ideas that matter. Hello, I'm Larry Markowitz. Welcome to Episode 4 of Season 4 of Spotlight Asia, the podcast series presented by AISIA, the International Association of Young Lawyers. Over the course of Season 4, we've been exploring the academic programs of this year's major AISIA events. We've also discussed diversity and inclusion and sustainability. And today, our topic is human rights in an episode we call Voices Unheard, The Struggle for Human Rights in Afghanistan. Human rights and the rule of law are keys to building fair societies, protecting individual freedoms, and preventing abuses of power. Given the current challenges in Afghanistan, it's crucial that these principles be upheld. Recent socio-political changes in that country highlight the need for a strong legal system that safeguards human rights, encourages accountability, and ensures justice. As Afghanistan moves forward, human rights and the rule of law are vital for achieving stability, inclusivity, and a brighter future for all Afghans. In a couple of minutes, we'll introduce our guest, AISIA member Ilaha Musaini. But first, I'm glad to be joined by Sylvia Van Schaik, co-chair of the AISIA Human Rights Committee. Sylvia will describe AISIA's approach to human rights and tell us about some upcoming projects. Sylvia, welcome to the podcast.
Great to be here. Thank you, Larry.
Can you tell us what projects or activities AISIA is planning in connection with human rights and the rule of law?
Well, throughout the year, AISIA has several activities and projects in connection with human rights and the rule of law. The aim of these is to raise awareness and increase knowledge amongst our members. We are all business lawyers, but in my view, it's important to realize that we can use the tools we have to make the world a better place too. Maybe not on a day-to-day basis, but when we can. Even if this is just by doing something small. An example of the activities of the AISIA Human Rights Committee is the Run for Human Rights we organize at big events like the half-year conferences and the annual Congress.
I've woken up early for some of those runs, I know.
I'm sure that some of the people listening know the run and have maybe participated early morning as well.
But tell us more. What was I achieving through that?
Because we gather early in the morning, rain or shine, to go for a run together. And by selling t-shirts, we collect money for human rights-related causes. Another example is the plenary sessions we hold during these events, such as a session we held in The Hague, in the Peace Palace last year. There we discussed how international institutions try to combat war crimes like those going on in Ukraine. For the upcoming half-year conference in Mexico, we are organizing a session related to indigenous rights. And we work with other international legal associations on recurring projects, such as the Day of the Endangered Lawyer. On this day, a collaboration of lawyers and activists asks attention for lawyers in countries where it's difficult for them to do their jobs. They do this by publishing a report and organizing other activities, such as protests or webinars. Each year, the day, which takes place on 24 January, is about another country. Last year, it was about Afghanistan, which is today's topic as well. Yeah, and these are just some examples of what we do. But let's talk about Afghanistan now.
We certainly will. Sylvia, thank you for setting the stage for the rest of today's episode on human rights and the rule of law.
My pleasure.
Now, Ilaha, you're an associate at Rutgers and Posch, a boutique law firm based in Amsterdam, where you focus on employment law. You studied at the VU University Amsterdam, where you completed your master's degree in employment law, and later you served there as a lecturer in the same field. You're also a board member of the Pro Bono Club and a volunteer for the Foundation for Refugee Students, UAF. I understand you were born in Afghanistan and moved to the Netherlands at a young age. It's now my privilege to introduce our special guest from Amsterdam. We're joined by Ilaha Musaini.
Very special to be joining this episode. Thank you, Larry.
Ilaha, let's begin with an overview of recent Afghan history. Many of us know that Afghanistan is a country that has experienced much turmoil, to say the least. It was invaded by the Soviet Union in the 1980s. Then in the 1990s, the Taliban took over and they were widely condemned for their harsh treatment of their interpretation of Sharia law, which resulted in the brutal treatment of many Afghans, particularly women. Then in the wake of 9/11, the U.S. Army and its allies deposed the Taliban and the rule of law reemerged, at least to some extent. Then in 2021, Western forces withdrew from Afghanistan, and by August of 2021, the Taliban took over the country again, where they remain in power to this day.
Yes, indeed. Thank you again for the introduction, Larry. I was indeed born in Afghanistan, in Kabul to be more specific, the city where my parents crossed paths, pursued their studies at the university and had built a wonderful life for themselves and their children, actually. But unfortunately, we were forced to move to the Netherlands when I was 7 years old. We moved to the Netherlands, with my parents, my brother and sister, and we lived in various parts of the country, relocating from one asylum center to another. And then, after 11 years, I finally received a residence permit when I turned 18, which was actually also the year I moved to Amsterdam to start my law studies at the VU University, indeed. And now, I've been working as an employment lawyer for some time now, the last 2 years at Rutgers & Pos, indeed, a firm that truly resonates with me and where I feel incredibly at home. That's especially important in light of events unfolding in Afghanistan at the moment.
Between 2001 and 2021, some progress was made in terms of rule of law and establishment of democratic institutions. But now that the Taliban is back in control, what is the status of the legal system in Afghanistan? And to what extent is the rule of law even upheld?
Yeah, so honestly, Larry, the current situation and the current status of the legal system in Afghanistan is quite concerning, to say the least. In reality, it's a total disaster. Indeed, the fall of the Taliban regime back in November 2001 triggered the reconstruction and reform and modernization of the war-torn of Afghan legal system and the legal profession, which finally gives some perspective for the Afghans back then. And this even resulted in the establishment of the Afghanistan Independent Bar Association in 2008, which was quite an achievement, if you ask me, because the institute administered the licensing and the regulation of lawyers, promoted excellent and equal opportunity in the legal profession, and trained future lawyers and advanced the rule of law and social justice.
But can the Taliban really put the genie back in the bottle? I mean, for 20 years, people got a taste of freedom and justice, and now they're trying to go back more than 20 years, but at least 20 years.
Yeah, that's right, Larry. But unfortunately, it has been proven that since the fall of the government in August 2021, 2 decades of progress were erased and the country's judicial system collapsed entirely. To give you a few examples, so in November 2021, the Sharia law was again imposed by the Taliban, and thereafter public executions and floggings began. And in the same month, the Taliban issued a decree that took away the Afghan Independent Bars Association's independence and its authority to grant licenses to lawyers. Following that, the Taliban started targeting lawyers who had previously worked on sensitive cases such as involving defense of human rights and including women's rights and other similar matters.
When you say targeting, like physically whipping them, that sort of thing, or prosecuting them in some way?
I think both. And so my family and I have unfortunately been witnesses of this happening in Afghanistan. Because, close family members of mine worked as legal professionals and lawyers in Afghanistan, and they had to flee the country for safety reasons. And unfortunately, I cannot elaborate more on this topic because,
It's personal and for security reasons, I imagine.
Yes, especially for security reasons. And I think, the current situation is especially upsetting for them because despite the ongoing war for many years, for many decades, they choose to stay in Afghanistan, pursued their studies, and they participated in, establishing a fair legal system. And now, the sudden reversal of their efforts is, very, very upsetting for them. And, it's very and it deeply saddens me as well.
What are some of the key human rights issues currently facing Afghanistan? I imagine it's a long laundry list, but maybe you give us some highlights.
Yes, it certainly is. You're completely right about that. So actually, everything that has been achieved in 20 years in terms of human rights has been undone. The Taliban have targeted journalists as well, besides legal professionals and human rights defenders, artists, academics, all kinds of religious and ethnic minorities have been also a target in the country. And to make it more factual or to lay down some numbers and facts for you, I have retrieved some information from official websites of, for example, Amnesty International. Here you go. At the moment, 97% of the Afghans are living in poverty, and nearly 10 million children are currently suffering from hunger every day. 5.2 million refugees and asylum seekers from Afghanistan are located in host communities in the five neighboring countries. And almost 3.3 million people are internally displaced in Afghanistan itself.
And that's well over 10% of the population. I think the population of Afghanistan is 30-something million, if my reading...
40, actually, yeah, yeah.
40, 40. Oh,
okay. Yeah, yeah, 40 indeed. Yeah, so, well, the numbers don't lie. And you know, you touched upon it yourself, so... Especially women and girls have been most severely affected by the Taliban's takeover because, well, working is forbidden for women except for a few professions, and girls are no longer allowed to attend high school or pursue any higher education. And while what's most upsetting is women who have been raped or assaulted, well, they are accused of violating moral standards and are being punished, even though that they are the victims. Just explain, so minorities don't have any chance anymore in the country. For example, the LGBTIQ+ community are once again facing grave human rights violations, and are receiving threats and being targeted as well. And yeah, so basically, we can conclude that human rights are currently non-existent in Afghanistan, and it is very sad, but it's true.
That's very troubling. I guess we'll talk about what people can do to help. I guess any little bit could help, but it's going to be very hard to reverse the overall situation. How accessible is justice for the general population in Afghanistan? Are there obstacles that individuals face in seeking legal remedies or protection of their rights?
Yeah, well, considering what I've just shared, Larry... I think you can answer that question yourself.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's kind of almost a rhetorical question. I'm guessing there aren't too many legal aid clinics opening up these days in Kabul.
No, not at all. And what I read and hear is that, well, crimes committed on a daily basis by the Taliban, well, they are not being prosecuted by it, and there is no proper or transparent investigations into any serious human rights violations. So, yeah, you know, what is also very upsetting is because Taliban officials continue to deny such violations and reject findings of NGOs such as Amnesty International, it is very hard to even fight the situation that the current population is in.
I'm guessing foreign NGOs don't have the best access to on the ground over there either, besides the tough terrain. Just with the Taliban in charge, you can't walk around freely if you're from a human rights NGO.
No, not at all. And they are, well, most definitely facing significant challenges in making a difference in Afghanistan. For example, in December last year, 2022, female aid workers were no longer welcome to work in Afghanistan, which, well, let a lot of aid organizations withdraw their help from the country. So, yeah, it is quite challenging for them.
Ilaha, what role have international organizations been able to play in addressing human rights in Afghanistan, if not on the ground, at least from the outside?
Yeah, so fortunately, there are some organizations who persist in addressing the situation in Afghanistan. I already told something about Amnesty International. Well, they still conduct researches and take action against the human rights violations committed by the Taliban. For example, they have called on the UN Security Council to take steps to end the restrictions on the human rights of women and girls. And furthermore, they have urged the Taliban to cease harsh actions against anyone daring to protest the curtailment of human rights.
I'm guessing the Taliban don't listen, but...
No, unfortunately not. But, well, at least it's something.
Probably draws attention to the issue, at least.
Indeed, it creates awareness, and that's very important as well. It's at least one step or a step regarding to or towards a change. And apart from Amnesty International, there's also Save the Children. It's an organization which supports Afghanistan as well, and they provide primary and mental health care, for example, to children in the country, and they help preventing malnutrition and offer education and provide child protection, which is very important, of course. Yeah, so luckily there are still organizations, and I'm forgetting one, which is also a very, very important organization helping out there, which is UNHCR.
Something to do with the United Nations, I'm guessing.
Yes. It's a UN refugee agency, actually. They remain dedicated to Afghanistan, which is very, very good. And they collaborate with a lot of partners of them and deliver life-saving aid to Afghan refugees, provide protection such as legal assistance as well, and ensure that children, youth and adults can access education and basic services. So yeah, they support Afghans and Afghan refugees however they can.
So often they maybe have more effect in the neighboring countries, because within the country, I'm guessing the access to education is not something they could provide, particularly for girls.
No, indeed. Yeah. So they are helping where they can, and also in the country, to be honest. So not only in the neighboring country. So they're helping out. So the situation is in that sense more stable comparing to August 2021 for organizations such as Amnesty and Save the Children to help out in the country. But again, they're facing a lot of challenges.
Okay. So the Taliban, in their own view, are there for the long term, and somehow the UN organizations have at least found a niche to be able to help out a little bit, but clearly they're not able to do very much. How, you know, with all these efforts, how effective would you say these international efforts have been in promoting rule of law, to bring it back to legal stuff?
Yeah, well, that remains difficult. However, there are also some achievements. So in April of this year, the Security Council did demand in a resolution that the Taliban urgently lift the restrictions violating the rights of women and girls in Afghanistan. Unfortunately, the resolution did not call for holding those responsible for systematic rights violations accountable. But, well, again, it's a step in a good direction. So they are achieving something, which is good to see.
So they bring attention, I guess. There's no way to really enforce such a resolution unless you invade Afghanistan again, which is a whole other story.
Yeah, yes, indeed.
But at least it brings attention, and which could bring pressure of some sort, perhaps internally. Who knows? Let's hope.
Yes, let's hope. Let's hope indeed.
Now, I think you've painted a picture of Afghanistan that's kind of not hopeless, but with little hope, let's put it that way. The people listening are mostly Aisha members or just concerned citizens in general. What do you think Aisha members or other international organizations and their members could do to promote justice, human rights, and the rule of law in Afghanistan?
As highlighted earlier, it has been very hard for international organizations to promote justice and human rights and the rule of law in Afghanistan. And my hope especially is that these struggles won't lead to the country to be forgotten once again. So it might be, or it might sound a bit cliche, but what organizations like Aisha can do is raise awareness and continue to do so ensuring that the situation in Afghanistan remains on the agenda. And yeah, moreover, it's absolutely crucial that organizations working on the situation in Afghanistan, like Amnesty International, Save the Children, and UN, I'm doing it wrong again. It's a difficult...
Are you saying it in Dutch, perhaps?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
The UN group you talked about?
Yes. The UNHCR. Well, it's very important that they receive support from AIJA members as well.
And what sort of support could they provide?
The most obvious is, of course, financial assistance, but also think about signing petitions or initiate joint projects and partnerships with local organizations to address specific issues, which will hopefully foster sustainable development and positive change. Basically, any form of support helps.
Yeah. I think Afghanistan definitely has a need for support, and more important, the people of Afghanistan have that need.
Yes, indeed. Trust me, they are greatly in need of support of any kind.
Indeed. We're up against the clock, but as we approach the end of the episode, let's recap. Ilaha, what are your three takeaways from our discussion?
I think the three takeaways are, well, firstly, that a humanitarian disaster is taking place in Afghanistan once again, and for quite some time now. So it's crucial to acknowledge the urgency and gravity of the situation. And on top of that, let's keep our empathy alive and continue to stay engaged with the unfolding crisis in Afghanistan, because our awareness and concern can actually make a difference. And while the last one is, if you haven't already, please do consider extending your support to Afghanistan, because every contribution, no matter how small, counts in easing the suffering and aiding recovery.
Three very important insights. Ilaha Mousseini, thank you for sharing your very personal insights on human rights and the rule of law in Afghanistan.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you for having me today.
This has been episode 4 of season 4 of Spotlight Asia. Today we discuss the struggle for human rights in Afghanistan. In our next and final episode for Season 4, we'll travel to Madrid to learn more about the next AIJA Annual Congress and its theme of Thinking Globally, the Role of International Lawyers in a World Searching for Answers. You've been listening to Spotlight AIJA, a podcast produced by AIJA for young lawyers across the globe. If you like what you've heard and wish to be notified of future episodes, connect with AIJA on LinkedIn, like us on Facebook, or follow us on our new Instagram account, or you can simply download Spotlight AIJA wherever you find your favorite podcasts or at AIJA.org. For all of us at l'Association Internationale des Jeunes Avocats, this is Larry Markowitz wishing you a great day.